All right, good morning. I can't hear you. I only say that because that's what we're going to be talking about today. Can y'all hear me? Can you hear? Can you listen? If you can hear, does that mean you're listening? Is there any difference? Let's open our Bibles, James chapter 1. James chapter 1, we're like halfway through the chapter. Wow, we're moving along. It's only been 6 months. James chapter 1, last week Mark talked about the new birth and being born again and what a beautiful thing that is, that God gives us a brand new life, a brand new start, a brand new heart, a brand new hope, and all we have to do is trust Him. But Jesus said in John chapter 3 that you must be born again, because unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God and you cannot enter the kingdom of God. So there's no way to see heaven. There's no way to get to heaven unless you are born again. That makes it kind of serious, don't you think? That this is essential. It's not just being baptized. It's not just, you know, going to church. It's not just, you know, saying a prayer here and there. It's an actual new life that Jesus gives to you and to me. So the question is, do you have it? That's always the question. We want to make it as practical as we can. Do you have it? Is it yours? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 says, beautiful verse. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So there's a brand new life, a brand new creation that happens when we are born again, when we trust in Jesus Christ. And that's what the scripture talks about over and over again. And lastly, this is all just review. Lastly, John 1, 12, it says that to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. So we have to receive and we have to believe. That's how we enter. That's how we have the power, the right to become children of God. And you know, we talk about being born again. Well, we're born into the family of God. That makes us a child of God. We're now children of his. He's our heavenly Father. So do you have it? That's a very important thing, and for you to say, well, have I come to that place where God has given me a brand new life? Am I born again? Are people going to, you know, call you, like our friend Greg said this morning, you know, Jesus freak or something, because you are born again? Are they going to call you one of those born agains? I hope so. Because then you know, like, something's changed in my life. It's a brand new life. Now today we're going to talk, you know, James is, he's like the Proverbs guy, you know. It's all very practical stuff, and I can kind of get my head around the practical stuff, and, you know, being that kind of a thinking that way, and really some of the things he talks about are practical things for those who are born again. And so if that's you, if that's me, then these are things we need to pay attention to. And well, what is it saying? And how does it affect me? And should it affect my life and how I live? Let's look at verses 19 through 21. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. He says, my dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. There's three things there, three very important things. We're only going to look at one today, because it's each of these, I think, are so important. I think we need to, like, get our heads wrapped around it. Like, what is he talking about here? So the first one he talks about is being quick to listen. He says, my dear brothers, my fellow believers, I love you and you're beloved and all these things. He says, take note of these things. Listen up, in other words. It's funny, he tells them to listen up, in a manner of speaking, about being someone who listens. Take note of this, listen up. And he says this for everyone, not just some. It's not just for the people who sit in church. It's for the pastors and the leaders and teachers as well, that you are able to listen. Each and every one, the word means all. Everyone needs to hear this message and to pay attention to it and to listen. So just looking at these words here, I love doing word studies. And what do I use to do my word studies again? Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks for reminding me. The Blue Letter Bible, you can go right in there and you can click on one word, right? And find out what that one word means. And sometimes it just means what it says, right? And there's no new revelation there. But sometimes you open it up and you go, wow, that kind of expands the whole understanding of that particular word. So here, this particular word, he says, take note of these things. Everyone should be. It's actually in the imperative. And it really means not just should be, but must be. That we really should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. This is our goal. Now are we going to fail at these things? Yeah, of course we will. We're not perfect. But these are something that we should, what's the word? Aspire to. I was going to say attain to, but we want to attain to it, but aspire to. These are things we want to see happening in our lives. And this particular one, this first one, is quick to listen. The word quick is the Greek word let me see if I can pronounce this, takous. And it's where we get our word for tachometer. You know, those of you car heads, that's not the right word. Motorheads. I was thinking that because Nick just got a new 67 Mustang with a gigantic motor and all that stuff, and it's like, please, let me drive. But the tachometer is a gauge in there that tells you how fast the motor is spinning, right? And he's saying here that it needs to be fast. You need to be quick. You need to be ready. You need to be swift, some translations say, to listen. Now, let's be completely honest about this. This is not our norm. We get these things all mixed up, right? We're slow to listen, quick to speak, and quick to become angry, and that's the way we typically are. Now you say, well, I'm not like that. Okay, well, you got some kind of pride issue too, so let's just deal with that. So he's saying we need to be quick to be able to listen, and the word for listen is actually the word where we get our English word for acoustic. It has to do with sound. So to be quick to listen, to hear, the word means to hear, but it doesn't mean just to hear. When you go to your blue letter Bible, you'll see these words are in the definition of this word. It says to hear is the first, but then it says to attend to and to consider what is or has been said. So you don't just hear the words, you don't just hear, but you actually listen, and that's what listening is, to kind of paying attention and what is it that I'm hearing? What does it mean? What are the words that are coming to me? Now, most of you know that, I got some hearing aids recently. I don't know. I forget how long it's been now. They help me to hear. But they don't necessarily help me to listen. I used to just nod my head. Yeah, talking to you, I had no idea what you were saying. I didn't really care what you were saying. But Now I can hear you better. It's more clear. That's what hearing aids don't solve everything, right? But they make it a little bit clearer. They bring in some of the high, for most people, the high frequencies to help you to kind of understand what people are saying. But it has to go further than just hearing, doesn't it? You've got to not just hear the words, but you've got to pay attention and listen. He says here to be quick to listen, not just listen. He doesn't just say, okay, you should just listen. He says quick to listen. That means fast. I got to get on this thing. I got to speed this up a little bit here. I'm a little bit too slow on the uptake. Years ago, I did a study for a marriage retreat, and I came up with this, and a lot of you know this. I've talked about it through the years, an acronym for PLOD, because in 1 Peter it says, if you can read the words kind of small, it says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Dwell with your wife, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. He says, how you treat your wife has an effect on your prayer life and whether God even hears you, because he says, you know, man, you're treating your wife so bad that I can't even hear what you're saying. That is so loud, it's like drowning everything else out. So I just came up with this little acronym, because if you're going to dwell with your wife according to knowledge, you have to get that knowledge somehow, right? And how do you get it? Well, you pay attention, and you listen, and you observe, and then you dwell according to the things that you get through those tactics or through those things that you do. But one of them is listening. You know, listening, it requires us husbands to pay attention if you're going to listen to your wife. It's not always easy. I remember we had a guest speaker here years ago, and he spoke at one of our marriage banquets, and he said, you know, he was talking about how, and this isn't my idea, so please don't throw things at me. He was talking about how the women were like, you know, they're talking and talking and talking, and then the husband says, would you just please land the plane? Would you bring it in? Well, that's not always true. Some gals are not like that. But you know, we have to be able to listen to each other. And husbands, if you're not listening to your wife, if you're on your phone and you think you're paying attention to your wife and listening, it's not true. And it will affect your life. It will affect your prayers, your prayer life. I wonder sometimes, is listening a lost art? You know, there's some book or something, movie or something called The Art of Listening, but it's something I think that we need to pay attention to, and this is what James is saying. Listen, the first thing he says, you need to be able to listen. You need to be able to listen. I looked up a few things about this, and I always try to find some kind of unusual or interesting, you know, things to add here, and the 10 principles of effective listening. Do you know what the first one is? Can anybody guess what the first one is? Huh? I can't hear you.
Listen.
No.
Clear your mind.
No. Number one, stop talking. Thank you, Jay. Stop talking, number one. You are not going to be able to listen if you're talking, because you're trying to talk over one another or talk over what somebody's saying. Some of the other things you mentioned, you know, prepare yourself to listen, put the speaker at ease, remove distractions, empathize, be patient. That's a hard one sometimes. Avoid personal prejudice, meaning judging. Listen to the tone, the volume and the tone of how someone is speaking. Listen for ideas, not just words, and also watch and wait for nonverbal communication. You know, these are all important things that we need to pay attention to and learn how to do. We're not born with this ability. As a matter of fact, we're born with the opposite, right? When we're born, we learn that if we just cry and scream and yell, someone is going to come running, hopefully, and take care of us. And if we want something else, what do? You scream and cry. And so we're not necessarily, you know, automatically the great listeners. It's just not who we are. So we need to look at it. We need to think about it. God Question says this: most of us are not naturally quick to listen, but we can train ourselves to be better listeners. Good listening is active. It engages with the speaker. It understands the speaker's perspective, even if we disagree. And when people feel heard, they're more willing to listen to our side. That's so true. If they think that we've heard them, we've listened to them, they're more willing to hear what we would have to say as well. He says being quick to listen actually opens the door to greater communication, because listening shows respect. And when people feel respected, they are more likely to return that respect and listen to us. So, is this important? Absolutely. James, you know, like I said, he's the proverb kind of guy teaching us, you know, that we can and we should learn and grow in this area. Sometimes I think we have what's called selective hearing. Any of you have that? You just hear what you want to hear. Some of you right now, you're listening, you're here, and like, well, I don't really want to hear that. I'm not interested in that message. So you just like, you tune out. You start thinking about some football game or potluck or some, you know, who knows, whatever. And you go like, wow. There's a quote, though, that says, and this ties in with the step one on the 10 steps to effective listening. It says this, and I'm sure you've heard it, most of you anyways, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and to remove all doubt. Again, this idea, just shut up. I don't like using those words, and I always told my kids, don't say that, because they would say that to each other. And it's just harsh to me. But be quiet. Sometimes you need to stop talking, right? You want me to stop talking? There are times when you need to talk, right? Okay, we'll talk about speaking next time. You know, that's interesting. They think that, they don't know who made that quote. Some say it was Abraham Lincoln. Some say it was Mark Twain. But some say it was Pythagoras, you know, who came up with the Pythagorean theorem, which, whatever that is. But that's a long time ago, right? But it's possible that it came out of this proverb. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Proverbs chapter 17. You remember the song back in the 60s, Silence is Golden? Some of you remember that. You know, I was looking at the words and I was listening to it, and I go, this doesn't even make any sense. Like, it's got a catchy little hook and everything, but the words didn't even really make, I didn't maybe pay enough attention to it, didn't listen well enough to know if it was making any sense. But I found that the phrase actually came from the ninth century, and it went like this. That was only half of it. Speech is silver, but silence is golden. So there's a place for speech, but this idea of listening and being quiet so that you can hear, that's crucial. Now, we're here at church, right, and you come, and I think you come to listen, right? You come to listen. You come to hear God speak, and ultimately, you know, I've talked about, you know, relationships, husband and wives, and friendships is also important, to be able to listen to one another and to hear what the heart is of the other person. But ultimately, who we really want to listen to is who? Is God, right? Ultimately, that's the one we really need to hear from. You know, Samuel Samuel was just a boy, 1 Samuel chapter 3, and God was speaking to him. He was there with the priest, and God started speaking to him at a very, very young age, but he didn't recognize the voice. He really thought that it was Eli the priest speaking to him. And finally Eli figured it out. You know, it took him like three times or whatever to figure it out. And he told Samuel, listen, this is what he told Samuel. He said, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. He realized that it was God's voice. And Eli, even though Eli, you know, had made a lot of bad stuff happen and wasn't really that great of a high priest or whatever, but he realized that God speaks and that he wanted Samuel to be able to stop and listen for the voice of God. To have that kind of an attitude, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And then he stopped. Right? He didn't keep talking. Sometimes we think we're going to hear God's voice and all we're doing is talking. We're praying. I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm praying. I'm praying. I can't hear God speak because you never stop. Right? Does that make any sense? Is this practical?
Yes.
I hope. You know, are we listening for God's voice? Do we really want to hear what he has to say? Again, this selective listening. I don't really want to hear what God wants to say because he's going to tell me that I can do this or I can't do that or I should do this, and I don't really want to know. I want to be the master of my destiny. I want to be the one in charge. Let me be Lord of my life. But there's so many scriptures to talk about. I was reading in Isaiah 54 this morning, and it was, I found it there again. He says, would you listen to me? God says, would you listen to me? Over and over again. I want you to turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy if you have your Bible there in front of you. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And we're going to look at a couple passages and then we'll turn to a few in the New Testament about this, because I want you to see that it's not just James. We can blame James and get all over his case or whatever. But it's not James, just James. Look at Matthew, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 27. And this is actually the people that are, they're talking to Moses. This is what they had said to Moses. They said, go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us whatever the Lord our God tells you, and we will listen and obey. So the people said to Moses, go and listen, and then tell us. And there's a place for that where somebody, you know, they studies the word, for example. They study the word, and then they share with what the word says, and there's a place for that. But there's, I think, an even bigger place for you and I to go direct. And isn't that what Jesus came to do? To open the way for us to go directly into the Holy of Holies. We don't need Moses to go there. The book of Hebrews is really kind of all about that, that we can go right in, direct. You say, well, God wants to speak to me? Well, yeah, he does. Absolutely. Deuteronomy chapter 30, turn to that. Deuteronomy chapter 30. In verses 19 and 20, Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20. I had a list of these up here for you to be able to see where we're going. He says, this day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life. I love that. The Lord is your life. Listen to his voice, hold fast to him, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Didn't Jesus say something like that too, that my sheep, they hear my voice, they listen? They know my voice. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon tells us that we should guard our steps when we go to the house of God. He says, go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. What's he talking about? He's saying, don't go just to be talking and speaking. He says, go rather to listen. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and what? And know that I am God. When you go to your blue letter Bible and you look up that word still, it includes the idea of being silent, quiet. Be still and know that I am God. Now let's go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, Old and New Testament, this principle that James is talking about. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. This is the Mount of Transfiguration where Jesus was there. Moses and Elijah were there, and they were like transformed, and it was just an incredible experience for Peter, James, and John who were there. Verse 5, it says, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. But what does he say here? Listen to him. Listen to him. You've got to listen to Jesus. That's what the Father says. Listen, this is my son. Listen to him. Will you stop talking and listen to him? Will you listen to him? How about Luke chapter 8? This is an important one, I think. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. What does he say here? Luke chapter 8, verse 18. I love to hear the pages turning. It says, therefore, this is Jesus speaking, therefore consider carefully how, what, you listen, how you hear. And then he says, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. Be careful, but the context there is careful, be careful how you listen. You know, as I've been studying it this week, I've been going like, do I really listen? Am I listening? Do I really stop and pay attention to what is being said to me? When my wife talks to me, she's here now, I have to be careful with everything I say. Are you really listening? Jesus says in Matthew, he says, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. If you've got ears, you should be hearing. You should be listening. That's why he gave us ears, right? But Hebrews chapter 3, it says that, as has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. If you hear his voice, don't let your hearts be hardened as you did in the rebellion. And in the letters to the churches in the book of Revelation, they say this, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. What does God want to say? What does God want to say to you, to me? You know, sometimes, and I hate this, and James started off in chapter 1 with trials, right? He just, trials, love them, they're wonderful, they're great and everything, beautiful trial. But do you like trials? You like trials? But the truth of the matter is, I know this by experience in walking and trying to follow Jesus for so many years, is that I listen more carefully during a trial than I do when there isn't any trial. Why? Because when there's no trial, what's the problem? Just boop, boop. go on about you. But then something bad happens in trial, and you go like, God, what is going on? And then you stop. You have to listen. You see, God uses, that's why he allows these things in our lives sometimes, because he can speak to us. He wants to speak to us, and sometimes we're just not willing to listen. We're just not willing to listen. How about Romans chapter 10, verse 17? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why do you think we talk about the Bible so much? You're always talking about the Bible. Bible, 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 Bible. Why? Because God will use it to speak to you. I know it by experience. And I can promise you that he can and will speak to you through his word. You know Elijah? Any of you heard of Elijah? How would you have heard about him unless you read the Bible, right? But Elijah, he was going through trials. You know, he had this incredible victory right on top of Mount Carmel, right? The incredible things happened, right? Fire came down, the prophets were wiped out, and all this stuff. And then one woman said, threatens him, "Well, I'm going to kill you," and he runs for his life. But he's out in the wilderness, right? And so talk about a trial. He's in a trial. And he's completely depressed, and God speaks to him. God speaks to him out there in the middle there. And you know what? At some point in time, he's wanting to hear God now at this point. And, there's like an earthquake, and there's all these radical, incredible, loud things that could happen. But it says the Lord wasn't in those things. Where was the Lord? He was in the still, small voice. So to hear the still small voice, you've got to be quiet, right? You've got to listen carefully. The still small voice, God spoke to him. God wants to speak to you and to me. If only we'll listen. So back to James, what does he say? He says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. We'll talk about that next time. And then after that, slow to anger. Sometimes you've heard that phrase, people say, we've got 2 ears, one mouth. Someone else said, that the ears, they're actually open, right? It's open. But the mouth or the tongue is closed in by teeth and lips. James goes off an awful lot on the talking part, right? Not just in this section here, but later on he's going to talk about it more. In fact, he says, the tongue is like set on fire by hell. To be careful what we say. But the first step, he says, stop talking. Be quick, swift to listen. Are you challenged?
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, James. I was thinking about this a little bit ago, James grew up with Jesus. And growing up, brothers and sisters, you don't really always want to listen to each other, right? But in the end, he's saying Jesus is Lord and we need to listen to him. He came to that place. We talked about that. The family, they thought Jesus was out of his mind until they finally came and to understand who Jesus really is. And then they were like, let's pray together, shall we? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you want to speak to us, that you want to help us in this life, that you do care enough to give us your word to speak into our lives and our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. I pray, Lord, that we would be willing to listen, that we could hear your voice. Hear what you want to say to us. Let him who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And we are the church. So, Lord, I pray you'd speak to us. I pray for each person listening here today that whatever it is they're going through, maybe nothing at the moment, God still wants to speak, but maybe you're going through a trial and God wants to speak to you. He will. He will. I know, I promise you, He will. We have to stop and listen for that still small voice, that word that He would share with us, that He would speak into our lives and hearts, and be willing to listen and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to listen and obey. Not to harden our hearts, not to be rebellious, but to say, okay, I surrender. Lord, we surrender to you today, Lord. Have your way in our lives. And Lord, I finish with this thought of being born again, Lord. There are so many people in our world and our families and our lives that are not born again, maybe even in this room today, that need to receive Jesus Christ and believe in Him and have a brand new life and be born again into the family of God. And all you need to do is receive and believe. Cry out to Him and say, I ask you into my life today, Jesus. I believe in you. I believe that you came to this earth, you lived the perfect, sinless life. You died on the cross for my sin. And you rose from the dead, conquering death. I believe in you. I receive you today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and sing together, shall we?